Amen. Wonderful, wonderful singing. Thank you for that. And thinking about the grace, His grace is greater. And praise the Lord for the song and the singers. I appreciate Brother Steve and Miss Joanna. They have helped. They help in so many ways. God has blessed our church with them. And we're so thankful that they're serving here with us. And what a joy it is to have them and their family. Well, we, as you may have noticed from the video, we had the theme was the agents of truth. And that was the Bible school theme. And speaking, Brother Daniel spoke each night about the truth. And Jesus, of course, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we were agents of truth in Vacation Bible School. But I wanted to finish out the evening, since we all, I pray, we all were involved with Bible school through working or through praying or through preparing, whatever it was. Then I wanted to finish up the week, in this form, and that is to speak on this subject, walk in truth. The Bible says in 2 John, if you turn your Bibles to 2 John, one of the short books there before Revelation, 1 John's a little longer, but 2nd, 3rd John, then Jude, Revelation. So right up against the Revelation at the end of your Bible. Close there is 2 John, and I want you to look at the one chapter it is, and we're going to look at verse number 1, and we'll read down through the four verses of that chapter, four of the verses, the first four, and then get into the message, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you about walking in truth. We've had a wonderful evening so far. I trust you've enjoyed the message, the message and song, and then the video just to see what happened around the campus here is a wonderful time, and I pray that you give me another 15 minutes here, and just let's look into what the truth of the matter is. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth. A lot of mentions here of the truth. Verse number 2. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And the apostle used a right here to this group of people in that church that were saved and they were walking in truth. And a lot is mentioned in this passage about truth. Well, like one fella told his son, he said, son, true advice here, as my dad has told the same as well. But son, always tell the truth. That way you don't have to worry about or want, you don't have to remember who you're talking to. You know, sometimes we get so involved in our stories that we have to remember, now what person am I talking to? Because I told this person one thing and this person another thing. And that's not old age. That's just something different. You know, some of you have to remember, remind yourself that you've already told that story 13 times to your grandkids. But I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is when somebody is one thing to one group and another thing to another group. That's what that old fellow was talking about when he told his son or grandson, whoever it was, always tell the truth. That way you don't have to worry about who you're talking to. You don't have to remember what the story was. I think about this, that I've told you the story about a dad that had four boys. And he lined those four boys up, and there was a lamp broken in the living room there. And he lined the boys up. He said, did you break a lamp? No, sir, I did not. Did you break the lamp? I did not. He thought the last one was the one that actually did it, but he couldn't prove it. Went to the third one. Did you break the lamp? No, sir, I did not. And then he got the fourth one. He said, did you break the lamp? What lamp? How many of you understand when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, usually the one that yelps is the one you hit? And so probably that boy got hit. But the truth is something so very important. And I want to look at this passage, but then go to some others. This lady here, the church there, the ones that are saved, they're commended for walking in truth. In John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 14, the Bible says that Jesus, he dwelt among us, the apostle was talking about, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1 verse 17, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, it's talking about the wrath of God being put onto somebody, revealed against those who held the truth in unrighteousness. And so God's very serious about the truth. And I'm worried this evening, not worried I suppose, but concerned, because there are so many things that are going on in our nation, in our world, that are claiming to be the truth. So much so that we even come to a place where we say, well, this is my truth, and that may be true for you, but it's not true for me, and this is my truth, that's your truth, and that's somebody else's truth. Listen, we can say it all day long, but we can't alter what the truth is. The truth, by its very definition, is right. And so truth, whether we want to agree with it, whether I want to accept it, whether I want to take it in to my truth or not, it can't be true if it's not true across the board. That's why when Jesus said he was the way, he is the truth, and he's the life. And so I want to look at a few things about the truth tonight. And I want to see, first of all, the place of the truth. If you turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, you'll know it when you get there. But the place of truth is what you're holding in your lap. The place, the origin, the conveyor of truth, the truth is laying there in your lap. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, if I find my place here, it talks about rightly dividing something, and the rightly dividing is the word of truth. It's the word of God. And so as you see there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so first of all, what I want you to see tonight, as we are all honorary agents of truth, we've got to understand where the place of truth is, and that's in the Word of God. Listen, friends, when everybody on the news and everybody in every blog and article and whatnot, not everyone, but many of them, are trying to claim what they hold is the truth, remind yourself, and I'm reminding us as a church, that unless it lines up with the Word of God, it's not the truth. It may make us feel better. It may seem logical, but it's got to line up with the Word of God. I watched some time ago a troubling debate, very troubling, about a clergy. And this clergy person was trying to convince the auditorium, or the audience rather, in that small auditorium, trying to convince the group that was there that homosexuality, sodomy, was okay. And there was one Bible believer on the panel. He was saved, born again. He was a Bible believer. He said, "What it says, I believe," and very well spoken. And he kept bringing them back to, "What does the Word of God say?" And you can imagine the debate that was going on between those folks on that panel. And they would say, "Yes, but some of this happens," and "Yes, but this," "Yes, but this," "But I feel this way." "It seems like it would be this way," and all kinds of statements about how I feel, or what it seems, or how it should be, or "it seems like this," or "what about what other people say?" And there was only one voice on that panel that kept bringing back to people to say, "I understand all those objections, but what does the Bible say?" And my friend, we are not going to stand unkindly. We're not going to stand with a mean, critical, ugly spirit, but we must stand where what thus saith the Word of God. So the place of truth is what you're holding in your lap, that Bible that you're looking at, that Bible that we stand upon, that Bible that you read, the place of truth that tells about that sin that I just mentioned, but also so many others. It gives about lifestyles, how you should live and how we should live and how we should conduct ourselves. And so in this life, you can lie to yourself as long as you want to, but when it comes to truth, remember this, my friend, it's in the pages of that book. The place of truth. I see not only that, but the product of truth as well. The place of truth is the Word of God. But what's the product of truth? Well, you want to see in John chapter 17, verse number 17, we listened to one of the speakers or preachers this week in Bible school talk about it. John 17, verse 17 says this, "Sanctify," or that just means clean. "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." As you dive into the Word of God, it will do a big work on your life. Sometimes I think that we're guilty at churches of trying to twist and mold and push people into a certain way of living after they start coming to church. My friend, listen, if we've got to twist and pull and prod and push so hard, it tells us one big thing is wrong. They're not in the Word of God. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm saying they're not in the Word of God. Because the Bible says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." A story is told about an old fella that told this young protege, I suppose. And he said, "Take this basket and go down to the river and get water and bring it up here." And he noticed as he got up to the top, the basket had so many holes in it that all the water had drained out. And he told him to do it again. He did it multiple times. And finally, although he was doing it just at the obedience of his master, of his trainer, so to speak, He was doing it only for obedience, but finally he said, enough is enough. He said, I'm carrying this water as far as up as it would go, but those buckets got so many holes in it. He said, doesn't do any good. And the older fellow said, look at the bucket. And he said, we started off as dirty, but now the bucket's as clean as it can be. Every trip you made down and got the water and brought it up and realized it was empty, and you went back and you got water and you brought it up, it was empty. You went back and got water, it was empty. He said, what you didn't realize was that water was cleaning out that container. And my friend, the Word of God will clean us up, but we've got to get into it. What our world, what our churches need is for more folks to see the product of truth, the product of the Word of God. This is the place of truth, but the product is a clean life, a cleanliness, because the Scripture says that it will clean us up. Not only that, but it says, secondly, is it's a place of joy. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 11, he said it was written so that your joy may be full. We looked at 2 John, if you would have looked later in 3 John, verse number 4, he said this to that group of people, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. When people live upstanding, upright lives, according to the Bible, it brings joy. I mentioned it recently in a sermon. I'm certainly not going to re-preach that, but you know, when you can lay your head down on your pillow at night and know that everything's good between you and your Heavenly Father. There's no unconfessed sin. No, please don't misunderstand anything I'm saying. I'm not saying that, well, if there's unconfessed sin, you might not make it to heaven if you die. There's a difference between salvation and fellowship. We can be saved, and I'm saved, but sometimes you let sin get built up in your life. You don't have the fellowship with the Father that you're supposed to have. But there's something wonderful about when you lay your head down your pillow at night and you know that everything's right between you and the Lord. You don't have those things that you haven't confessed. You don't have anybody you have to go to. You don't have to go tell anybody something you said was wrong and you're sorry and tell the Father about that. I'm telling you, when you walk in truth, it brings joy. How many of you have kids in here, grown or not? I think you would attest to the fact that the sweetest times is when they haven't done anything wrong that they haven't already apologized to you for. If you got any kids, you said didn't do anything wrong, you must have been crazy or something, because they all do, and we all did. How many of you understand the reason your kids are so wild and uncontrollable is because their parents is coming back around to them? So Don't look too hard at your kids and say, man, these kids are crazy, wild, and unruly. And because your wife's going to say, well, I bet that's just the way you were. So, but you know the best times, the sweetest times, are when there's nothing between the child and the parent. When that fellowship is sweet, when there's nothing being hidden. There's nothing that they're ashamed of right at that moment. There's nothing that they have to get out in the open because everything's already out in the open. Well, my friend, the same happens true with you and me and our Heavenly Father. When I haven't done anything as a Christian, as a believer, as a child of His, I haven't wronged one of you. I haven't done this, I haven't done that, but what I've confessed it. And I'm telling you this evening that you understand the most happy times, the most joyful times is when the truth is showing forth in your life. I talked to people a lot, of course, but I talked to some folks not too long ago, and they said, oh, I hope that my children, adult children, I hope my children join your church there. I'm looking forward to them getting into a Bible-believing church. They're going to be excited when their children park themselves into a church that holds up the Word of God. I say to you, as the apostle, I have no greater joy to hear that my children walk in truth. I'm saying that the product of truth is not only a clean life, but it's a joyful life. If you find yourself all the time mad, upset, grumpy, and cantankerous, well, save the rest of us some trouble and get sweet, would you? And get in the place of truth and let that joy come as you fellowship with the Lord and you get into His pages of His Word. I told you the place of truth as we're talking about being agents of truth for this week, but the product is a changed life. A changed life because the Word of God gets in you. If you're struggling in your Christian life and you're not seeing the things that you want to see happen in your life, I'd ask you this: how much time are you spending in the Bible? How much time are you spending in there? You say, it doesn't seem like all that stuff's working for me. We got to get in it and let it get in us. So we see the product of truth. I'll give you the last one, the person of truth. Brother Daniel preached this week about this verse, John chapter 1, verse number 14. The Bible says, or no, not this one. It was another passage, but this one's a good one too. John chapter 1, the Bible says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And I'm reminding you that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven, and it's for us, but it was also for those first few human eyes that were looking at it. And as God uses the apostle here to write these words to them, and he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Can you almost hear the sentiments of the apostle? And he says, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. These guys let it get all over them for a little while, those apostles. And they knew this. They knew that they knew the person of truth. As you look at Jesus Christ, as those apostles were privileged to get to serve with him, eat with him, and see him about, they were looking at truth incarnate. Do you ever look at other people and say, well, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Well, I wasn't as late as for Davis, to church that is, or I didn't do as bad as so-and-so, or I'm not as bad as so-and-so. You know what I find whenever I start doing that comparison game? I look at somebody who I already know does worse than me. You ever notice that? We don't ever look at the person that's 15 minutes early. We don't ever look at the guy that's got no weeds in his lawn. I told you before, we're kind of still mad at Steve Smith because, you know, we bought their house, and I was mad because their yard looked the best when we moved in it's ever going to look in our lives. So if I want to take my yard, I don't ever compare it to the guy that's growing dandelions as a hobby. That's who I compare my yard to, but we don't compare it to the guy that's got it meticulously done. And so we get into a tough time when we start comparing ourselves to ourselves. That's why the Bible says not to. But if you're going to try one on for size, how about how the Lord Jesus handled situations? If we start comparing ourselves to how he handled disappointment, how he handled betrayal, of which he had a lot of, people betrayed him. If we start comparing ourselves with him, then we realize that we are in a big heap of a need of his help. I'm saying that the person of truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, people say today that Jesus is a good teacher and a way that you can reach spiritual nirvana or spiritual health, and he's a way that brings peace to you, and he's an avenue to give you some help, and he's a way that you can better yourself, my friend. All of that might sound good on a talk show. But he is not a way to anywhere. As exclusive as the statement sounds, it's Jesus Christ's statement, so you don't have to blame us, me for it. As exclusive as it sounds, Jesus is the way. He's not a way to a better life. He's not a way to get yourself more of what you want. He's not a way to be a better person before you stand before other people. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible goes on to say, as he was telling those disciples, that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so I want to, you ever put up tents before? We used to put up a tent every year for a tent revival. And we drive those stakes in. You know why we drive them in so deep? Because the year before, we didn't drive them in deep enough, and the wind came, and one of these older staff guys, we thought he was going to go away with the tent. He was holding on, and he was going about 2 and 3 feet off the ground, just holding on for dear life. The next year, we drove the stakes down a little deeper. And so we would hammer and drive those stakes in so it held something. I want to drive down deep a stake that's already been driven down for all of these years, but that is to remind us all in our personal life, in our church life, and in your family that you must build it on the truth. When in a day and age which Everybody is trying to reinvent truth. Everybody is trying to say that truth is this, that, or the other thing. I'm reminding us that the place of truth is the Word of God. And you would do yourself well again tonight to vow to build your life on this book. The product of truth, if you want to keep up on yourself, the product of truth is a clean life. If you're having problems with all kinds of sin and all kinds of wickedness as a believer and you're struggling with this, that, and the other, I would ask you the question, are you getting in the book enough? Because it will cleanse you. It will sanctify you. It is the truth. And then if you find yourself always upset and always mad and always absent of joy, I again would ask you, should you be in the book more? Because he says that he gives us those things that our joy might be full. John chapter 15. The place of truth. The product of truth in your personal life. Your family. But then all built upon the person of truth. One old preacher put it like this. If Jesus Christ were a book, it would be this Bible. If this Bible were a person, it would be Jesus Christ. Because he is the written. This is the written word of God. And he is the living word of God. And so this evening, as you're all honorary agents of truth that we looked over in Bible school, and as everybody that works so diligently, I'm staking the claim very, very deeply tonight again that this church, my life, and I trust your life as well, will be built upon, beat down, hammered down, staked strong on the truth. You say, why would you preach a message like this? Because I know every wind of doctrine is blowing across our lives. And we're seeing good people who have stood for years start to question and doubt and wonder if the Bible, does it really mean that? Could it really be so dogmatic about that? Could it really be this? We're seeing people that are wavering on the truth. Because sometimes the things that the Bible says are hard to be taken by certain people. And the folks that love those people so much, they back up on what the Word says. But I'm telling you, my friend, we're just hammering down another time that our lives, our families, this church are built upon the truth. The place of truth, the product of truth in your own life, and the person of truth. The Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, hard to give an invitation. I think that most of the people in this room already believe what I just preached. So Lord, I don't think I'm convincing anybody away from an erroneous position. But Lord, I felt led that that's what you wanted me to preach. And so Lord, I pray that we would hammer down again. Lord, this world needs to see Christians that know what the truth is. Lord, we need to speak the truth in love. We need to speak the truth with grace. We need to be seasoned with grace. We need to be kind. We need to be gracious. We need all these things. But Lord, at the end of the day, we don't have to be unkind. But we do have to stand on the truth. Bless us, I pray, to do that. As the ladies begin to play and you hear them, would you stand together? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. I challenge each of you to make some commitments to the Lord right there in your seat. I do not think it's going to get any easier in our day and age to stand on the truth. I believe if you raise your family to say, this is the Bible, we will believe it all the way through, that you will have more resistance than you've ever had before. But I'm asking you to stay strong, not because I'm asking, but because you're a Bible-believing Christian. The scripture says, Lord, thy word is truth. If we're going to be all agents of truth at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we must know what the truth is. As the workers did a great job this week instilling it into the hearts of young people, the truth is Jesus Christ and his word. Perhaps you're here as they play through another verse or two of this hymn. Perhaps you're here and you've got some spiritual heavy heart. Would you come and let somebody pray with you? Maybe you just need a Christian brother or a Christian sister to kneel at this altar with you and pray with you about something going on. This altar is open for you. Would you step out and come, my Christian friend? Just do business with the Lord. Pray. Seek His face. And then maybe you're here tonight and you've built your life on something, but it's not on Jesus Christ. I've mentioned it before. I mentioned it again. Jesus didn't come to this earth to give you a better life. He didn't come to give you to help you be the best person on your block. He came to save you from your sins. And if you're in this room tonight, not sure that you're saved, not sure that your sins are forgiven, not sure that you'd spend eternity in heaven, would you be so bold as just to step out? Would you step out and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that what the truth is, that there's only one way to heaven, that's Jesus Christ? As they just play a little bit more, God speaking to your heart, would you come? Maybe you're here and you are saved, but you've never been baptized, but you'd like to be. You want to follow Christ in believer's baptism, or maybe you don't understand all of it, but you have some questions about it. You'd like to know what it is. It's a Bible thing, and you'd like to know some more about that. You want to step out and come. Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit here. He would love to take the Word of God, or else make an appointment when he could do it in more detail and show you what that is. It's you obeying Christ, identifying with Him. Or maybe you're here and you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come present yourself for membership. This altar's open for you. I'm just going to ask him, play one more verse. If God's speaking to your heart, you come. Thank you so much. You may look this way. And what a joy to be in church tonight. And I do ask you, covet your prayers as we go to Arkansas. Pray, Lord, give us safety on the way down there, and that the Lord would use us to be a blessing to a bunch of young people as they're there. And then pray for the service on Wednesday with Brother Foreign, and then pray for this weekend. This next weekend, we'll have a great time. We're looking forward to a patriotic service in the morning here in the auditorium. And then out at Harvest Acres on that evening. Just to recap that, we'll meet at 5. We'll start eating about that, and we'll start the service at 5:30. The church is providing hot dogs, hamburgers, and drinks, and a side, potato chips or potato salad or something, I'm not sure. But then desserts are, if you want to bring one of those and participate in that, that's fine. If you're not able to because this, that, and the other, that's fine. The church will provide the rest of it, the hamburgers, hot dogs. We're going to have a great, great time. Let your kids play. Have a lot of fun. We'll have a great time celebrating together. And then we'll be about an hour service. So we'll be done about 6:15, 6:30-ish is our goal. And that way you've got plenty of time. I don't know if the fireworks are on that night, so I'm not sure of the schedule, but you'll be in good time. We didn't figure that the Mullins and the Barkers wanted us out there till 10 to wait till dark. So we're going to excuse ourselves about a little before that. So thank you for being in church. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and pray and dismiss us in service tonight. And thank you again for everybody who labored in Bible school. Wonderful, wonderful week. God bless us, and I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to dismiss us, and then I'll greet anybody in the back door that cares to go out my door.
Father, thank you so much for the day that you've given to us today to be in church together. Lord, thank you for the messages. Lord, thank you for the time together. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be a church family that elevates the truth in our lives, Lord, that we would live in a way that is in keeping with the truth, to walk in it. And Lord, to allow you to share the truth through us in the lives of others. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to put that into practice this week. I pray for the boys and girls who were saved this last week. And Lord, I pray that they begin to do that as well in their lives, and that we'd be able to follow up with them and see some of them. Lord, all of them, we'd love to see baptized and walking in truth as we've been able to put this into their lives in the last few days. Lord, bless now as we go. Keep us safe. Bring us back together on Wednesday night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.